You're about to enter into a new world of knowledge, curiosities, and high strangeness. This is a podcast of Straight Up Strange Productions.
So a theory that has come to me, and forgive me if it seems like I'm in a state of mania as I say this, because I've been racking my brain, just working and being cooped up during this quarantine. But I've been speaking to a lot of divinity lately, and some of it's whispers, some of it's trance, some of it's in my dreams. It's all over the place, and I hope it becomes more direct, and it is becoming more direct. It goes back and forth, much like any symphony, dissonance, and then harmony. But I'm realizing something about magic, and we all realize this. So all of you listening are probably going to be like, hey, like, well, yeah, no, why? It's like, that makes sense. Why don't we put it that way? Because the dark side knows everything. Your subconscious and unconscious knows everything, because the subconscious and unconscious is connected to the collective sub and unconscious of the universe and the collective consciousness of the universe, which is divinity and all the connection to divinity, what have you. But the thing that's interesting about magic, and the most recent entities who told me this were Freya and certain other gods and goddesses who right now are escaping my mind, and certain tutelary spirits. I ran into a tree spirit named Atlong. That was a very interesting situation. I went on a trance and through an entire walk through the woods. I'm currently making an alphabet of desire right now, an alphabet of binding, and it's a very interesting situation to kind of do what the original people who made languages did, and forms of writing, and how it is they related to the universe, what inspired them, what divinity inspired them. And I'm realizing that, and I've realized this before, but really this was emphasized to me, and I remember Freya was the loudest one most recently to say this to me, that in order to truly access physical magic in this world, is you have to put bindings on it. You have to put it in a structure. You have to give it a form to live in. You have to give it something to take form inside. And technically, a form is a fetter of some sort. Technically, we are souls bound in a physical body, but being bound in the physical body gives us consciousness, so to speak. So it is a beautiful thing. We are the mediums of light and darkness, everything coming together to create life as we know it in this particular realm. So, like, let's say if you wanted to make fire appear, you have to find a way to understand the codings of fire and make the appropriate sigils, seals, what have you. Because seals, think about it, it's a sigil, a seal. You seal something in. You're capturing it. To capture something is to give it form. The bodies capture our souls. The things that we give to entities to take form, to take resonance, much like playing the note on a piano. The note exists when you play it, but the note is still the note even if you don't play it. Where does the music go when it's not being played? It still exists in the collective subconscious. Now, the thing that's fascinating about it is that this goes with every one of your traits, friends. Every one of these feelings, thoughts, intuitive presumptions, what have you, your personality traits, your light, your darkness, your male, your female traits, and where it is they come together, that's the part that gets crazy, is where these things come together. Now, and here's something that's really interesting, you know, is that to bring something to life, you have to create it. And when you destroy things, you create things. And when you create things, you arguably destroy what it once was, but not necessarily. There's different levels of destruction. People think destruction is all just like obliteration, like like Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z when he killed Jace, which was an awesome scene. all joking visualization aside, it's kind of fascinating because what it is I mean by the destruction is just like technically when you chop down a tree and you make it into a floorboard, you destroyed the tree, but you didn't destroy the wood. You didn't destroy what it was. It's an old philosophical question. How much of something is removed for it to not be what that thing is anymore? What is the percentage? What is the chemistry? What are different definitions? There are scientific definitions. There are literal definitions. There are practical definitions. There are esoteric and exoteric definitions. And then there's where those things come together, which arguably don't have words at times. We're still learning so many words. And that's why it's a good thing that I think people are making new words, friends. But words are seals. Names are seals. So the thing is that when you get rooted in that too much, you limit yourself by it. To access the unlimited, you must only stay in the limited for a short amount of time. Much like a dissonance to a harmony. Imagine, most people are content just living in dissonance. Constantly, never letting the chords progress throughout their life. And that's why time seems so slow, like why time is not moving and why music is associated with time. It's absolutely maddening. Now, but when you accept these things and you forgive yourself and you allow the release to happen, you allow the hot to the cold to the hot, whatever it is you are in, and your predisposition will determine what feels like a harmony to you. What may feel like harmony to you might not be harmony to another person, or it might feel like that in a different situation, but not necessarily. So it's the same thing, but in a different situation or at a different modal tendency. So many layers to this. Now, but it was fascinating because I'm sitting here making these letters and I'm drawing in the ephemeral and I'm just going in trances and just I've been writing for months now and just going through things that have some sort of meaning. Tapping into symbols that already exist. I found myself writing symbols of alchemy without knowing certain journals on alchemy, because there are so many symbols in alchemy and there are so many different from different centuries, friends. It's crazy. Different astrological symbols. There was this one symbol that's coming to me as a symbol of power that looks very similar to a symbol of Eris, was the goddess of discord. For those of you who watch Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, they referenced her briefly. But obviously, that the Valley Girl thing is a gross exaggeration. Eris and Discordia, her Latin counterpart, if not, they're the same entity. Nobody talks about how Eris is the opposite of Armonia, which is another goddess, which is what Eudaimonia, Armonia. We've spoke about these words before. The geniusness in the allegory that are these divinities. But it's kind of crazy because things always kind of exist. They say energy cannot be created or destroyed, only transmuted, transmutation. Now, that means that things exist and don't exist simultaneously, much like the commentary, as I said a couple of minutes ago, on music. Where does the music go when it's not being played? It exists and doesn't exist simultaneously. Does anything exist or not exist simultaneously? Are there different levels of existence? Is there some form of truth to every delusion? And is there some form of delusion in every piece of reality? It's crazy, you know, and that goes back to, what was it, Einstein, I think, that said that. That was, you know, something to the effect of that reality is some sort of illusion, albeit a persistent one, or something of that nature. I'm certain somebody could look that up for me. Now, essentially, primal sound and number, numerology, geometry, astrology, all these things, we've said all this before, friends, that all these things have meaning to them. And by what it is we said before, things have meaning and no meaning simultaneously, which is why people meander between like being, you know, very, very rooted in theurgic processes, and somewhere between that side of the pendulum and the other side, which is like existentialism and nihilism, which are different things. It's just an existentialist has a propensity to become a nihilist, but it's all I'd argue all nihilists are existentialists, but not all existentialists are nihilists. But it's fascinating. So I'm sitting and I'm just hearing things and I'm just feeling that if you look at all the consistencies of just about every language around the world, all different writings, all different things, and we have the synthetic languages of the West and the pictorial languages of the East, where those things come together and what it is that I'm creating in my own work and what I've seen with other people who do Alphabets of Desire. Wolf of Antimony is one of them. It's, whose work is ingenious. I know I've said it before, but you should check this person out, friend. They're incredibly intelligent. But so if things cannot be created or destroyed, only transmuted, only brought to when you create something, when you give something a limitation, that's trivium. You're bringing things forward into the consciousness. You're giving it a literal representation. Now we go back to the sigil work, as brilliantly explained by Austin Osman Spare, Frater UD, and all the other book writers that I can speak of, you know, Agrippa and all of them. Now that's the conscious side, but the dark side is the quadrivium, which is, you know, we get the moon, the science and the mathematics, the things that exist whether you understand them or not. I'm certain we've all seen that meme circling the internet. Science is real whether you believe in it or not. But so is divinity to some extent. Now science, now believing in science, I mean, it's the problem is that I'm looking for the language to describe the degrees of separation between those two things, because there obviously are. You know, not all things are necessarily equal, but they are equatable. Things are certainly equatable. Look at the differences between equitability and equality. But it's interesting because divinity will call you to do things that they want to do, but there is free will. Now, it's crazy because If you do all the studying that I've done on this, and the study that the many greats throughout history has done, you realize that all the sounds, like I said, in the original languages, the synthetic and the pictorial, you realize that all these primal sounds and all these inflections of these sounds have a particular frequency to them, and frequency is measured by number. Number in frequency, you know, when frequency creates sacred geometry in the vibration. And geometry is music when we add in time, how it unfolds. And astrology is all of that on the largest level. So it's fascinating because you'll get these things, you'll get your dark side calling out to you to bring things to the conscious. Basically, it's day and night. The sun has to go to both sides of this world. You have to walk with your shadow, not with your shadow behind you, constantly screwing with you or trying to get your attention, and not in front of you, for you'll get lost in the void. That's why humans are depicted as staring towards the north. The north is the end. The north is the winter. The north is the winter of life, the death, the ending, the beginning and the end, the terminus, the alpha, the omega. But the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And then you go back to the correspondences of all the elements and the colors and all of the fabrics of reality that we have spoken of on this podcast numerous times. Now, it's fascinating because these things exist because obviously there's a connection with how these things are synonymous. When you look at the combinations of where things come together in psychology and sociology. Sociology being psychology essentially on the largest level, on the grandest scale, collective psychology, the group psychology, if you will, and psychology literally being of the individual. So where things come together, if you notice, there's different agreements that we all make, friends. There's consistencies, but the conclusions you draw are often polar depending on who it is you are, whether you listen to a C scale and think of daytime or nighttime. And it has entirely to do with you as a person. Now, I would argue that the key of C in this particular example has to do with the daytime. And those who have seen where it has to do with the nighttime, those people tend to be very either introverted or have a particular look about the life. Sorry, brief interruption. But the thing that's fascinating is that divinity exists, much like if music exists and doesn't exist at the same time. And music is divinity. Divinity exists and doesn't exist at the same time. But I'm of the person who says, oh, it is existence. You know, I'd rather have everything than nothing. Because nothing technically is a crazy concept. There's a reason why the Latins didn't have a symbol for it. And even when the Arabics came up with the symbol for zero, it was still very perplexing to them. Now, when you are understanding all of existence and the everything, the all, the universe, however you look at it, if you believe in one particular divinity, if you're very Kabbalian with it, whereas everything is just the mind and there's no actual divinity, or maybe you're a cheerful atheist in a sense where you still believe in the correspondences of everything, but it's used as an allegory of understanding or what have you, or all of the above, which why does one have to be the absence of the other is a big thing I've always said, you've all heard me say before. I'm sitting here creating these letters and these primal sounds. And all those sounds, like I said, many cultures, a lot of them drew the same conclusions. They were corresponding with the same numbers, same symbols, same ideas, same correspondences, same colors, same frequencies, same types of intervals with notes. It's crazy. And just the subtle differences was what defined the culture and what defined the divinity, what made the perfections. Now, divinity, if you invite them in, will make you do some interesting things, but they'll call to you to do it constantly. Now, because you'll notice the subtle differences that'll drive you mad when you study different forms of numerology. I mean, Pythagorean and Chaldean alone, when compared to the gematria of very many other languages, like the Phoenicians, the Hebrews, the Arabics, and the Greeks, it's maddening. The subtle differences, and you want to look for consistency. But the thing is that, much like magic, if you can put a system on something, that's when you can tap into the best things of it. But you can't limit it by the system itself. So, that being said, divinity will tell you, let's say the vowel ah equals one, but in your system that you're creating, it won't equal that until you declare and seal it in a seal. Then that's what that means. And you will tap into all of those things, consciously or subconsciously or unconsciously, as much as you're aware of. But you can't keep it for too long. You have to release it. It has to be able to come and go. Dissonance and release. It's so, so fascinating that these things are like this. Because we say they are like this, but they are also like that whether we say it or not. But we can't tap into it unless we find a way to say it, which is basis of communication. Now, Courtney, you were talking briefly. Courtney is here with me, friends. I'm not totally recording. I needed to go on this rant, and there's so much more to say. We said more than this before I started recording. I'm trying to retrace my steps because I'm in a place of mania right now, and I have been. Understandably, in this cooped up quarantine that we are all in, and I hope you all are doing well. We lost two people to this virus and this situation. So, and it's thrown a wrench into a lot of things, but everything happens for a reason. But at the same time, it's still a rationalization.
And
you know,
it's still frustrating, yeah, even if you know it's for a reason or not.
Yeah. So, and that's it's different. So, tap into your discord, tapping into your dark side and your light side equally. This is just reaffirming that. In order to understand eudaimonia, you need to understand hedonia, or hedonism. Mm-hmm. You need to understand where those things come together. So, Courtney, you were talking about the concept surrounding the devil, the responsibility. What is true damning of oneself? Do you remember what you were saying? I'm sorry, that was like a good 15 or so minutes.
Yeah. So in talking about humans and their ability to rationalize things and try to control things and understand them, maybe starting with what we were talking about, the Haitian Loa, we'll kind of get back into it.
Oh, yes, you want to start. Okay, so long story short...
You were saying that, you know, you had connected to the Haitian Loa, and we were talking then about people's concepts of deities and how they can be, you know, taken as intimidating, scary, negative, things like that, and how people tend to be...
some spirits or entities are more dark or treacherous looking than others.
Yes, and the Haitian Loa tends to be that because...
to the average mind, obviously, right. They are not like that, friends. We've heard you've heard us speak of the Haitian Loa before.
Right.
It is we feel about them, and you know, I'm quite fond of them.
The interpretation can be that my theory was people find them intimidating because they are intermediary spirits. They are earth and they are divinity. They are half human and they are half divinity in the human way that they're part of earth.
Their vibrations are lower than gods, because they supersede and they're intermediary spirits between the gods. Essentially, think of it as like, let's say you need to reach a guy on a 30-story building, but you can't go in the building because the building is a new dimension. And but you need to reach the guy that's on the top of, let's say, the Empire State Building. Or like, let me just make it as daunting as possible. Maybe let's say Mount Everest. Let's say it's a building like Mount Everest, but you can't go in the building. Only the people who have gone through those dimensions can go through it. Now, imagine screaming that high, you know, so the Haitian voodoo saints thought that the Haitian Loa, you know, superseded on behalf of, well, not superseded,
Interceded,
thank you.
They're basically the bellboy that you send up in the elevator to go get a message to somebody at the top, or
like a messenger, like how Hermes is usually depicted with the gods in certain senses, not as a bellboy. I wouldn't necessarily.
Well, I was going with your building.
Oh yeah. Oh, analogy. Sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry.
Not like reality. No.
Just now, I'm just imagining Papa Legba in a bellboy hat. I don't think
it's adorable.
pretty sure it'd whoop somebody's ass.
If
I could just finish with the metaphor.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Just so our viewers understand. So it's just like, basically you have to scream up to the highest window and your voice isn't reaching the top of the building. That's what the Haitian Loa interceded on behalf of Bandye, which for all intents and purposes was the West African understanding of the all deity, which is like the great spirit or like Yahweh.
Yeah. So a male deity in
that particular sense, or a universal deity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so they thought that god was so far away that the only way to talk to them, but the Haitian Loa can talk to them.
Yes.
So you work with them, and then they work with that god, and then they keep going back and forth between the both of you, and you have this expression and this humility and this servitude. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned. But the thing is, the lower the vibration is, the closer to this realm. So they'd have more humanistic traits. The farther away, the less humanistic they would be. Not that that's a bad thing. You can't look at it as good or bad, just different and different variables to take into account. So you're screaming at the top of this building. There's no way they're going to hear you, but the person up in like the 10th floor can hear you. And it's like, that's as high as you can go. And it's just like, oh, okay, great. We'll ferry this for you, and they have to keep like fishing with each other.
Yeah, hence the analogy of the bellboy.
Yeah.
You give him the message, he goes up in the elevator, and he might have to go through a few other people and a few other floors, but eventually he'll get to the top floor of the person you're trying to talk to.
I'm sorry, that was roundabout.
It's fine. And you're trying to be concise. You're trying to be very explanatory, so I get it. But yeah, so my theory was that humans tend to be afraid of those intermediary spirits or intimidated by them because they are, well, for their very nature of being intermediary, because humans search for divine, so they can search for something that is beyond them, something that they think is greater. But at the same time, while they want something divine and perfect in a sense, they're also afraid of that perfection because humans know they can never reach it. So they actually don't really want to know what God is because they'd be afraid of the answer, but they want that concept to be there to weirdly make them feel better.
And the answer in and of itself is an end. It's like, what happens at the end? Do you cease to exist at all?
And do you want that answer to know what that is? And so the Loa are, you know, seen as intimidating because humans look at the earthy spirits and go, well, I could possibly be like you because you are part human, or, you know, human in the sense that you're earthy, you're connected to the earth, we're beings of the earth, but your other half is divine, that the human feels they can't reach. So they're intimidated by the fact that this intermediary spirit is part human, but it's that the same thing that exalts them is the same thing that they're afraid of. Humans would love to ascend to divinity or be close to it, but they're also terrified of being close to it because we're human. We're meant to be on Earth. We're meant to be close and in connection with the Earth. So that's kind of what I was talking about. And then also...
Well, how people in regards to forgiveness in themselves.
Oh, and with like devil characters and stuff like that. Yes. So let me see. In regards to, well, like, I guess things that humans can and cannot control. And.
Oh, so, all right, I'll try to refresh your memory I'll backtrack a bit. So, humans, when they keep making mistakes or when they're caught in limbo for longer periods of time, and we've talked about Jean-Paul Sartre, you know, humans acting in bad faith, making a decision that will cause more pain over time or put you in some sort of limbo rather than making a decision that will hurt more now but move. That's really kind of what deals are.
We're talking about
technically, think about, like, in your life, the only way is, this is why people are afraid to make, like, deals with, like, let's say the Loa or devil-like characters,
spirits at the crossroads. You have to be responsible for the deal that you made. And humans don't like that because we're afraid to fail. So failure, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Failure is the devil. Basically, demonize...
quote-unquote.
Quote-unquote, not literally. But we demonize things because we're afraid to fail. Yeah. So if we can anthropomorphize something and create something that we can project all of our failure onto, we don't feel like we have to take the responsibility for the failure.
And the less human it is and the more gnarled looking it is, the easier it is to dismiss it. That's a psychological thing, friends. Yes. Think about how many abusive people will purposely antagonize, let's say, like a bad couple. The bad partner will purposely antagonize the other partner into them reacting in a way that will be emotional, so it will make more sense to the person antagonizing them to dismiss them. Mm-hmm. It will make them feel like more of a good person.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And, you know, that's manipulation at its finest. And also, you know, as humans, we tend to be a little bit selfish. We don't really want to take responsibility for our failure. That's actually the worst thing I think humans feel they can do, is fail at something, because it makes us feel icky. It makes us feel wrong. Like, you know, but we have to realize that we have to forgive ourselves for outcomes that happen in making a deal where we were trying our best. If we had good intentions and we made a deal with all of the best intentions, we can't foresee every possible outcome that can happen. We can only hope that we don't fail. So in making deals, we have to be comfortable with our own humanity in making that deal. But we're doing it with other people constantly. We're doing it with decisions we make. We're making deals with ourselves and other people every single day.
Whether it's conscious or subconscious, friends.
Exactly.
Unconscious, what have you. Now, it's fascinating because contracts are math. The universe is mathematical, and that goes back to, everything's basically back down to number. We're back to talking about that. So,
and like you said, we have to make deals to move forward.
And deals...
So we can't get anywhere with magic or with doing higher things if we don't make these deals and we don't fail and we don't move forward.
There's a reason why they say contracts are binding, friends. If contracts
and how,
are...
How terrifying is that? You want to make a binding contract when you think that there's a possibility you can fail? I can't even handle small deals that I make with myself sometimes, and I feel like a total failure.
The problem is that people think that they're free by avoiding those as long as they possibly can. But the thing is that if you stay in one place for too long, eventually that will become what you are bound in.
And you're still failing.
And that's the thing. Peace will eventually drive you crazy, and madness will eventually bring you peace in some particular way, shape, or form. And that goes back again to symphony and harmony. The dissonance that precedes the cadence, and then how the new thing begins. You know, you don't listen to the same things over and over and over again. There are certain things, I mean, you have a predisposition towards. Maybe you'll like certain things more. Certain people are atonal by nature. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're wrong or you're wrong or anything is necessarily wrong. We are all extensions. We cannot find divinity if we do not see it in ourselves and each other. And we can't see it in each other unless we see it in ourselves. Something has to happen. And regardless of how you may feel about Judeo-Christianity, Jesus of Nazareth's lessons are very important. It's that forgiveness, friend. Forgiveness for yourself and for others. How would you forgive someone if they were in the side of the contract that needed to be fulfilled? How can you help them? How can you make this happen if they really want it to happen? You know, where is the fine line in justice between forgiveness and punishment? What is appropriate punishment? Do you punish people indefinitely? Punishing people indefinitely is what humans fear, because that's the society that they make. Look at it. Someone does something wrong, that's they're marked. They're wearing the scarlet letter. You have cursed them. You have put that on them. And human beings will do that, all while still being under the fear of that happening to them.
They have a desire for control, to put things in boxes. But ironically, we're not putting things in boxes in the right way that's going to help exalt us. We're putting things in boxes that's going to keep us down, because we're not going back to what you were saying in the beginning, is we need to put things in
bindings, fetters. You need to seal something. You need to seal things in order to
eventually let it go. But we've forgotten how to let things go. And so, you know, and also, of course, it depends on what the thing is that you're binding or you're putting together. And, you know, it's not going to be the same for everything or for all the things humans, you know, try to control. Now, I think that that'll be good for a little bit of a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk more about this, because obviously we can go on for a long time.
We just decided to do this, friends. It has been really hard for us to be able to do the podcast in certain ways, because so here's what happened. We're going to give you a little.
Well, we did. We talked about it, I believe.
Oh, you a put that. Bit last how time. We're doing the classrooms? How we're now?
Oh no, not that.
Oh well. Long story short, friends, is that we have. Our studio was actually expanding before the end of before this virus situation started, and we were, you know, teaching people more and more in person very consistently whenever possible. And but we're also doing online things. We're still working on the online forums and everything. But if you want occult lessons for a decent price,
yes, I can't remember if I included that, but we'll repeat.
Any there's so many different types of classes that we're teaching now,
and I put it on Instagram and Facebook. We have a TikTok now, so. That's all at Daimonikos Productions. On Instagram, there is an underscore between Daimonikos and Productions. But you guys can find us that way. And if you want to see the list of classes, I put up a few just to give you an idea. Feel free to reach out to us to ask for anything in particular. We'll let you know if we offer that as a class yet. And then I'll continue to put up and expand upon the classes that we do have. And also, my women's circles are going to be included in this. It's technically a workshop. So we actually have one coming up, and we'll have them pretty much every month. But if you are interested in a class or a workshop, we started with Google Classroom, so that's going to be a way that we can get written information out to you. And we're also doing it over Zoom, or if you want a private lesson, we can do Zoom or Skype. You know, we can kind of work things out with you guys. Again, we're working out kinks of how to have an online platform. I'm trying to make it as seamless as possible. So if you have
and as efficient and as easy for people, you know, to have access to.
Yes, and something where it's all in one place and it's not confusing and it doesn't, you know, take you five steps to try to get to where you want to be and you get frustrated. We don't want to make it complicated for you guys. If you have any advice on how to make things streamlined, then that would be much appreciated, because we're working through the kinks right now. But just know that those things are available. If you go to our social media, you can find more information about that. And you can also feel free to reach out to us personally if anything is confusing or you don't understand. And it's really easy to sign up for these things. And I know that without having a website, it's hard to, you know, get lists for people to sign up, or having a building, it's hard for you to like sign up on a list. But just emailing us or messaging us that you want to join in an activity will direct you towards how you can sign up, if there's an official thing you have to, you know, put your name on, or we'll put you on the list.
We're also, now things are changing a bit. We're finally developing our own system. Well, our own system has been developed enough, shall I say, that now we are able to teach a bit more concisely. Now, we want knowledge to be available to everyone, but at the same time, we invest a great deal of our time and energy into this. And if we do not take a fee of some sort at this point in time now, then that will undervalue the work and the energy and the time that it took to go into this. And by doing that, you're reinforcing the fact that knowledge is not valuable, and commodity fetishism and all sorts of, you know, other like trinkets are more valuable than that. And we're trying to make things a bit more equitable with what's worth something. This does not mean that things would be incredibly expensive.
No, we, and we'll are keeping in mind people's, budgets and things like that. And, you know, there's things that can be done that if you want access to the information we have, we can work something out with you. So please don't ever feel like, you know, you aren't deserving or in a place or able to learn because of something like that. Everything can be worked out. There's always a situation where we can find a compromise, what works best for everybody.
Different contracts for different people. The moral of this
episode. Do different deals and stuff sometimes to give people a little break on things. We're making classes a little bit shorter, so this way you can pay for things as you go and it's not such a big lump sum at once. So again, there's things we can work out. And then also there are things that'll sometimes be donation based. Right now, if you guys ever want to do my women's circles, I have my own particular pricing for that. But the online ones I am doing for $10 a person right now. So you can either pay us through Venmo or PayPal for any of our classes also. And I hope that isn't confusing that we have two payment options, again, with the streamline thing. But talk to us about getting the usernames for that. So if you do sign up for a class, we'll work that out for you. And we'll make sure that you get all the access codes to the Zoom and the Google Classroom. But again, we want to make sure that the trade is even. So those things are going to be reserved for when you sign up for the class. And again, if you need to work on something in a payment plan wise, we can figure that out. So don't ever feel afraid to sign up for something and then ask us how you can make it work.
Now, the final thing I want to say in regards to that particular topic is that how the podcast will be done going forward will be different philosophical abstract ideas. We will still be talking about books and recommending all sorts of things. We will give you a lot of our resources, friends. But the things that we want to make clear now is that, so for example, I did an episode out of my own compendium that I've written of, and a collection of the many books and resources and names throughout the centuries that I have read. Well, not me reading throughout the centuries, of the names throughout the centuries, at least in this lifetime, of all these things that I put together in my own compendium and my own particular system that is concise and uses the psychology of teaching. I want you all to know that I gave a decent amount of the masculine elements and those particular traits. I'm going to talk briefly about the feminine elements, but if you want to know all of my information, you have to come and take my classes. And then I can orate to you in a different way. And we can also have things that are interactive. There are many different types of learning.
Yes, and it's a written format. That's what we're doing in the Google Classroom. So you guys have notes. There's an outline. You're always encouraged to bring your own notebook or have something to write down.
It's
going to
be a different kind of reduction.
Yes. But so we're still going to have informational things on the podcast. Some things, you know, if it is from our own grimoires, may be limited just for information's sake, just for some things might be kept private. So hopefully you understand that as well. But yes, we are going to continue to talk about all sorts of wonderful topics on here. And we will let you know if something is going to be continued and expanded upon in a class. So you can take the class if you so choose to. Otherwise, it's still great information that we're going to be including on the podcast. And it's still something, you're able to learn from. We hope that we see you guys in class. We hope you continue to listen to the podcast. You enjoy it. And, if you are on Patreon with us, you also get some bonus content there. So you might get early access to things, additional information.
It would also help to give them the name of our... Oh, wait, no, I'm not saying to you. I just realized we were doing all that talking. We didn't give them the name. Safaim?
I know. I was getting there.
Okay,
see?
All right.
Well, got there before I did. Now, talking about the classroom, it's called Sophaeum Daimonikos, so Sopheum, and then Daimonikos on Facebook. I'm using the Daimonikos Productions email for Zoom and for the Google Classroom, so you'll recognize that. And you can join that group if you are interested in taking classes, but you do not have to feel like you have to take all of our classes. There are no contracts. It is a pay-as-you-go system. But you are more than welcome in the Facebook group as long as you have paid for a class. You are welcome to discuss things with your classmates because those people will understand, obviously, the topics you're talking about. And you know, there's no fee to get into the private Facebook group, but it's for our students and for the school as a whole. So we have another discussion board. And again, you tell us what classes you're interested in. It will be a forum where we will be posting dates and times and events. So it's just another way that you can have access to knowing our classes, because eventually I will have the list of classes and workshops, unless it's a public event. If it's going to be a private, you know, class, where we're having a limited number of people come, then it will be posted on the Sofam Daimonikos page, so you guys have access to it. And if you're even interested in maybe doing classes with us in the future, you're welcome to join the Facebook page. It is private, so I have to approve you, so just answer the questions, and, you know, you will be welcomed in. And also, you know, again, if you have any other questions, you can reach out to us on email, daimonikos.productions@gmail.com. I have had people reach out in regards to the classes that we offer, so, you know, if you want to find that out, you can ask me there or look at the Facebook group. And we put out little bits of, you know, our everyday magical workings of, you know, different things that we're doing around the house, different things that we're doing on TikTok now. So we are Daimonikos Productions on there. You can follow us there if you like and you have a TikTok. It's pretty cool. We're learning the platform, but it's fun. We're having a good time with it. And Patreon is what I was going to say, too. We have that for Spellcast Podcast, but we also have it for Daimonikos Productions. So we set it up where you get discounts, deals on future classes, workshops, and events like SpellCon and everything else. Now that we're on an online platform for a little while, those things can be translated to online classes and workshops. So if you have joined Patreon or you want to join Patreon, don't feel like you won't be getting the perks that you're supposed to be, because while it might have been for, you know, things like there might be discounted tickets, free tickets for future workshops and classes because you're part of Patreon, you can still apply those perks to online and online workshops and classes. So if you're doing the tier where you get like a free ticket to SpellCon, for instance, or something like that, we're still having that in October, so you can use it. But if you wanted to use your free ticket or your free entry for a workshop, but you want to take it now and you don't want to wait until we're able to do them in person again, you're more than welcome to use it for an online class or workshop. So you can find us on Patreon. We have two tiers right now. You get really great perks, honestly, with both of them, and it's a way to help support our growing business. It's a way to support us with the classes, to support creating the workshops and events and all the time that goes into it. And again, talking about the energy exchange of, you know, in a monetary sense where, you know, we're able to give something for our time and effort. That's the concept of Patreon as well. And that's basically the similar concept we're working on with our classes and workshops. You know, just we're asking for a fair return on something that we've put so much time, love, and energy into, and we want to share with you.
Once this virus situation has cleared up and people can travel again and we can get to back to some sort of semblance of normalcy, we will get back to what it is we were doing right before it came to a screeching halt, mm-hmm. which is there are multiple classes. If you come to like a class, an intro class, it'll cost you less. But if I'm teaching you privately, obviously I have to charge a private fee. If I'm traveling to you, if you're traveling to me.
Yeah, there will be all things that, you know, we're going to have to take into consideration once we're, you know, off of just strictly being online. So strictly online now, we're working out a few kinks. And when we get back to doing in-person classes, when we get back to doing things at Earthly Secrets and other venues, you know, we'll have to adjust to that again. And like I said, we are fully planning on doing SpellCon, so that is something to look forward to. We eagerly await that, and we hope we can do other similar events sometime in the near future, because that would be wonderful to do more SpellCon-like things. I'm sure everybody agrees and it would be really interested in doing that. So we look forward to having more workshops and classes and events in person.
If you have any other questions, please feel free to ask us. Mm-hmm. I suppose that would be a good place to end.
Yeah, so we're going to conclude here. Remember, you can follow us on most social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. And if you're part of the Spellcast Coven on Patreon, you get access to the Snapchat, which is pretty cool. And if you want to contact us, again, the email is daimonikos.productions@gmail.com. And you can also private message us on any of the social medias.
Oh, by the way, and if there's anything in this particular episode that doesn't quite make sense or just seems like bizarre ramblings, I implore you, please ask me what it is I mean. I can clarify further. This stuff is incredibly intricate. And also, when you're in a trance and things have been, you know, going with you for a while, you can have a tendency to seem as though you're all over the place. So if there's anything in my gibberish you would like me to decode, please feel free to ask me what it is I mean, and we will clarify to the best of our abilities.
Yes.
So.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will talk to you shortly. So remember, there's a little witch in all of us.
And the spirits live in the mirror.